Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Messiah United Methodist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. We hope you find it meaningful and relevant. We invite you to join us in worship at 8:45 or 10:30 a.m. each Sunday. And now, may you be blessed as you give attention to the reading of God's Word.
In the process of healing a child, Jesus makes a statement about the quality of faith. We are reading today from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17, beginning with verse 14. When they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. "Lord, have mercy on my son," he said. "He has seizures, and he suffers greatly. He often falls into the water, or he falls into the fire. I brought him to your disciples, but they were not able to help him."
"You unbelieving and perverse generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me." Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed from that moment.
When the disciples came to Jesus later in private and asked, "Why couldn't we drive him out?"
He replied, "Because you have so little faith. Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you."
This is the word of God for the people of God.
You know, everything has a starting point. Your life had a starting point, even if it was by accident. There was a moment when it began. And faith has a starting point. I mean, most of us who come to faith were first introduced to that faith when we were a child. Now, when I was a child, I didn't ask a lot of questions about what to believe. I just accepted what I was taught. I mean, someone, maybe it was your parents or grandparents or a Sunday school teacher, a youth leader, a pastor, said, "This is what we believe," and that's what you believed. You just accepted what you were taught. But then there came a point at sometime in your life when you began to question what you were believed. You had your own questions, and maybe somebody answered your questions, or maybe somebody refused, or they said, "No, you just don't ask those kinds of questions." Or you had experiences that didn't match what you had been taught. And so you began to wonder. And some people walked away from faith entirely. So what if we hit the restart button on faith? An adult kind of faith. Where and how would we begin? Well, that's what this series has been about. And this morning, since this is a series about faith, I thought it was about time I talked to you about faith. What is faith? And if you know your Bible, some of you are already thinking about Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. But before we get to what to believe, I'd like us to take a step back and look at the word itself. See, even though we use faith or belief, and this morning I'll use those two words interchangeably, even when we talk about faith or belief in a religious context, the word itself is not uniquely Christian. It's not even religious. But faith is an ability. It's something that only humans have the ability to do. I mean, we have a dog, but he doesn't spend any time trying to figure out what to believe. It's not possible for him. I mean, he doesn't think about, you know, what sort of vision do I want to have for my life and where is my life headed? No, all he wants are two meals a day, an endless supply of chew toys, and someone to take him out a dozen times a day. That's it. But I'm guessing that wouldn't be enough for you. Because we imagine. We can look beyond, even to things we cannot see yet. See, God has given us the ability to believe. And this ability to believe is the most powerful force It is the most powerful force at humanity's disposal. Everything that humans have ever accomplished began as an idea or a belief. I mean, take Thomas Edison. He's credited with giving us a light bulb. I mean, what motivated him to keep trying? We're told that he tried 1,000 times before he was able to create something that had never been created before. What motivated him? He believed it could be done. See, someone has an idea and puts together beliefs around that idea and begins talking about those beliefs or writing about them or acting on those beliefs, and other people come alongside and the world begins to change. Jesus said, faith can move a mountain. Now, I'm not sure he meant that literally. But throughout history, all kinds of mountains have been moved as a result of faith. I mean, medical mountains have been moved. When, with cures that have eliminated diseases we no longer have. Because someone believed that it could be eradicated. And when that disease comes back, as a few months ago, measles came back in this area. We know what to do with it. I mean, educational mountains have been moved. Economic mountains have been moved. Racial mountains have been moved. Human rights mountains have been moved. Faith may not move the mountain, but it creates the idea that can. You see, this ability to believe and then form a movement around that belief is behind good and is behind bad. See, some have used faith and belief as a weapon. Isn't that what Adolf Hitler did? I mean, all he had were ideas and formed beliefs around those ideas and began talking about those ideas, and other people came up alongside and horrendous things happened. Or in this country, we had the Civil War. We had one group of people who said, this is what we must believe, and another group of people said, no, you're wrong, this is what we must believe. I mean, words got exchanged and emotion began to fuel those words. And before you knew it, we were at battle. The nation almost split and more than 600,000 people were killed. Because of beliefs, ideas. You know, every time we watch the news, we hear about certain beliefs. And we hear about people who believe differently and see the world differently. And then people come together around those beliefs and horrendous things happen or wonderful things happen. And we can find example after example where people have believed something was possible, and it became possible. I mean, we've heard that seeing is believing, but did you also know that believing is seeing? Believe something long enough, and you can see it. Though sometimes we are too smart for ourselves. I mean, just imagine, let's say you went off to college. You didn't go to just any college, but you went to some sort of special college, one that is very difficult to get in, but they accepted you. You got into that college, and you had a great education, and you came out of that educational institution, and you have a terrific job. You've got a roof over your head and a couple of cars, and you're able to take vacations a couple of times a year. You're not just middle class, you're upper middle class. I mean, life is good. And then one day you have a conversation with somebody and it occurs to you that person made millions of dollars by starting something in his parents' garage. And he didn't even go to college. Or he didn't finish college. And as you're talking to that person, it occurs to you, he's not even that bright. I don't think he could have gotten into the college that I went to. And then you say to yourself, if I had the idea that he got, I'm so smart I would have talked myself out of doing it because it wouldn't be possible. He was just dumb enough to believe it could happen. Nobody told him it was impossible, and look at him now. I mean, look what's happened. See, the ability to believe is a gift. The ability to believe something is a gift from God, and it is the most powerful force at humanity's disposal. And one more thing about faith. You know, we constantly look for evidence to support what we already believe. Isn't that true for Republicans? And Democrats, and Libertarians, and Independents. I mean, everybody does this. We watch something on television or we read something on the internet, and we say to ourselves, well, I already believe that. And then we see something or we hear something that's just the opposite, and we say, well, you know, you can't trust that source. That's fake news. I mean, we all do this. I mean, we look for things that will support what we already believe, and we filter out everything else. I mean, that's what makes belief so powerful and so dangerous. See, the ability to believe is a gift that God has given to us. So when it comes to religious beliefs, there are whole religious systems that have been developed around a single belief or a whole set of beliefs. And people have come alongside those beliefs, come alongside a leader, and when that leader dies or that leader is martyred, the followers pick up that cause. I mean, this is the way we're going to live. This is the truth. This will make a better world. So isn't it just that we have a kind of smorgasbord, I don't know, people still use that word smorgasbord, but buffet, okay? We have a sort of buffet of religious beliefs. Just pick one. I mean, they're all just about the same, aren't they? Well, why faith? Huh. Well, here's the point where I'd like us to turn to the scripture that we heard this morning. See, there was a time when Jesus commissioned his disciples and he sent them out two by two to do the things that he had already done. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out the demons. And they did all of that. And they came back to Jesus and they were just ecstatic. Look what we did. This was so easy. Nothing can stop us now. But now we're in another day, you see. And at the beginning of Matthew chapter 17, Jesus has gone up a mountain by himself to be alone and to pray, and the disciples are down at the bottom of the mountain, and this is another day, and suddenly, they cannot do what they've been doing. It doesn't work for them. And they are unable to help the man who has brought his son to be helped. They can't do it. But Jesus comes down the mountain and he looks at the scene and Jesus is angry. You unbelieving and perverse generation. I mean, those are fighting words. I mean, he's angry because they lack faith. See, they thought they'd had faith or power or at least something. I mean, Jesus, months ago, we got out and we did all of these things. Faith must not work. And Jesus says to them, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring this boy to me. And so Jesus steps in and he heals the child. And then he has this message for us. Do you know why you could not do what you were trying to do? He says. Do you know why you couldn't do it? Because you have so little faith. You have so little faith. And then he proceeds to say that if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you could move a mountain. Have faith the size of a mustard seed and nothing. Nothing will be impossible for you. You see, it's not the size of faith, but who you believe in. Jesus is saying the key is not the size of your faith, but who you believe in. Let's say you're inside the house and you're looking out a window to see the moon. It doesn't matter the size of that window. You could look through a window this size and you could see the moon. But not if it's on the wrong side of the house. See, the smallest faith can produce the greatest things. But the disciples have not discovered that it's not what you believe, but in whom you believe. So why am I a Christian? I mean, why would I choose to follow Jesus? You know, when Jesus died, those closest to him, the disciples, his followers, even his family, when Jesus died, everyone believed that Jesus was dead. Everyone believed that he was dead. And after all of the teaching, I mean, after the Sermon on the Mount, wasn't the Sermon on the Mount just wonderful? And all of those amazing parables that has left us spellbound, after all of the teaching, after all of the miracle actions, after all of the powerful things that he did to heal other people, after all of the things he said that got under the skin of the religious leaders. I mean, after all of that, when Jesus died, his closest followers believed he was dead. And everything he did and everything he said died with him. I mean, whatever faith they had that Jesus was the one, that there was a movement that had formed around his life, well, whatever it was that they believed it before he died, when he died, it all died with him. It was over, done, period, finished, end of story. Why? Because he's dead. I mean, we thought he was the Messiah. We thought he was the Son of God. But once again, the stronger in this world defeated the weaker. They won, Jesus lost, he's dead. And if they had ever believed, in that moment, it disappeared. See, for 3 years they traveled with Jesus, but now they knew it was a lie. You know, usually when the leader of a movement dies or is martyred, his followers immediately pick up the cause. But for Jesus, he formed a movement around himself. And so once he died, it was over. It's gone. And the people who knew him best, did not believe him. He's dead, and dead people stay dead. But then 3 days later, he appears. And even when those closest to him saw him that day, seeing did not equate with believing. They still didn't believe it. They went back to go fishing, something that they left behind 3 years before. But a few weeks later, 50 days to be exact, the followers of Jesus went into the streets of Jerusalem. And they began preaching about Jesus. And when they began preaching about Jesus, did they talk about his miracles, the miraculous things that he did? They didn't talk about that. They didn't talk about his teachings, the way that he could tell stories and how people were drawn to those stories. That's not what they talked about. When they went into the streets of Jerusalem to preach about Jesus, this was their message. Jesus died, and you killed him. But God raised him from the dead, and we saw him. You know, 20 years later, the Apostle Paul, a man who hated Christians and did everything he possibly could to squash this movement until the day that he himself met the risen Jesus. 20 years later, Paul is in Athens. We looked at this story 6 weeks ago. And he is taken to the Areopagus or to Mars Hill. And the Athenians say, "Tell us about Jesus." And what does he tell them? He doesn't tell them about his miraculous acts. He doesn't tell them about any of the teachings. He doesn't offer the Sermon on the Mount. Doesn't tell them about parables. What Paul says is that God has done something. God has done something for the whole world. And it's Jesus. It's Jesus. See, Paul says that God has done something. In Acts chapter 17, verse 33, he says, and God, you see, what God has done is given proof to everyone by raising Jesus from the dead. So do you know why we're here? I mean, why the church has survived for 2,000 years? I mean, why I believe and why I think you should believe? When Jesus died, nobody believed. Zero. They all lost their faith. And then something happened. They saw something. They saw the risen Jesus. And that was the message. God has done something for the whole world. Jesus died and was raised from the dead. We don't believe this because the Bible told us so. I mean, the Bible that we have today would not be put together for another 250 years. We believe this because we saw it. We saw it with our own eyes. God has done something for us and for the whole world. And they wouldn't stop talking about it. And they were ready to put their lives on the line because of something they saw. You know, Matthew and Mark saw something and they wrote about it. John saw something and he wrote about it. Luke tells us that he investigated all of the sources of information that were available at the time that he was living, and he came to the conclusion. He put arranged all of that in chronological order, and he says, and he came to the conclusion that it's true. He believed it. James, the brother of Jesus. If you had a brother who said to you, "I am the Messiah," what would it take for you to believe that he was true? James didn't even believe it until he saw the risen brother, until he saw his risen brother for himself. Only then did he believe. Peter says, "I believe it." Paul says, "I believe it. I believe Jesus rose from the dead." All these people who had previously believed in none of this, saw something, and that single event changed their lives forever, and they wouldn't stop talking about it. And because they wouldn't stop talking about it, almost every one of them martyred their lives because of something they saw that changed their lives. So the question is, who is Jesus? Jesus says, in this world there will be troubles, but have no fear. I have overcome the world. You see, I'm not a Christian because the Bible says so. I'm a Christian because God did something. And what God did has changed my life. And to my dying day, I will not stop talking about it. So the question is, who is Jesus? And are you ready to believe? Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for what you have done. Thank you that you didn't just leave us with a long to-do list. Thank you that you didn't just send us another prophet or another great teacher. You gave us proof. And we gather today in his name. And for those who are wrestling with this, give them the wisdom they need to know what to do and the courage to do it. In Jesus' name, amen.